Coppell's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
Welcome to the Worcester Reports, a program of stories, Christian devotions, and music. Broadcast on CWCP, Coppell's Western Cape Radio.
South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God.
Welcome to tonight's edition of the Worcester Report. My name is Tony Coppell. Lorianne is around, and we're going to have just a little bit more music in tonight's show because our guest is a musician. I'm going to introduce him by first telling you about recent events in Worcester Christian Church. Well, Worcester Christian Church is where we like to go as often as we can on a Sunday, if we're not going to Hillsong in Cape Town. And a few months ago, Worcester Christian Church opened a church plant in Overhex, which is a farming community, maybe even just 15 minutes from Worcester. And people were invited to go and switch, at least temporarily, from the mother church into this plant. But the main purpose of it was to give local farm workers somewhere that they can worship on a Sunday. And obviously you need music. And the person who was asked to do the music is now with me in the CWCP studio. His name is Pastor Phil Ademuwi. Did I say that right?
Ademuwi.
And one day they put up a video of him playing to the congregation. And I can remember saying to myself, wow, this guy is good. I'd like to see him here in the Worcester Church. Anyway, so now I have the privilege of actually talking to Phil. And we're going to talk about a number of things. We're going to talk about the church, what he does in it. We're going to talk about music. And then he's also an author. He has a couple of books that he's written. So I think we'll have plenty to talk about. Welcome to the Worcester Reports, Phil. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you so much, Tony, for having me. And thank you to the listeners out there for having me in your homes or cars. Thank you.
So let's start with your experiences with the church in Overhex, Grace Church. What's it like down there? What are you seeing from the new congregation? How are they finding this, perhaps for some of them, a new experience of coming to what is really a good Christian church?
You know, the first time that the church made the announcement for people that would love to go to the Grace Church to volunteer, I actually felt in my heart that God wants me to be in the Grace Church because I love working with the local people, the local community, and I showed interest in going to the Grace Church. And yeah, I have this kind of peace every time I go to lead worship. And yeah, we sing all kinds of songs. We sing the local songs and songs like Eke Teleke Smaki, which means that I have a sweet heart. And also we sing a little bit of Hillsong and songs from around the world. So it's always a blessing to be in the Grace Church.
Are you seeing an increase in the congregation week by week?
Yeah, the previous week I was in church and we saw the whole place was filled up with people. So every Sunday we see God increasing the number of people coming into the church. And yeah, we thank God for that.
As a worship leader, I know that one thing that will interest you is when you start to sing a song is whether people in the congregation actually know it or not. Talk about whether you play songs they may not know or whether you like to stick to songs that they do know, though I'm not sure where they would have learned them from.
You know, one thing, Tony, I'm from Nigeria. My wife is from Cape Town, South Africa. So we've been married for 9 years. In November of this year will be 10 years that Cherry and I have been married. And Sharon, you know, over the years, she taught me a lot of South African songs. So I'm very comfortable with the people where I sing songs that they know. Most of the English songs that I sing in the church, they also know. So, yeah, well, I always look forward to singing, leading them into God's presence. And, yeah, it's quite an exciting journey to be with them.
Now let's delve into your work as a musician. Tell me when you first started getting interested in music and how you moved into being semi-professional in music.
Yeah, my journey in music started in 1982. I was about 8 years old, and there was a particular Sunday we had a children's anniversary in my church, and I was chosen by my Sunday school teacher to sing a particular song. And I remember singing that song on a Sunday morning, and the church congregation were coming out of their seats, you know, to actually give me money. They were so excited, you know, to hear me sing. And I would say that was my first experience singing, yeah, in the church. And over the years, I've seen myself singing in church, and the feedback I get from people, it's always has been very encouraging. And I also went to Ibadan Polytechnic in Nigeria to study music. And so that's been my journey over the years.
Do you play just Christian music, or do you stretch into other genres?
No, I sing only Christian music.
I've always been impressed by the ability that some black keyboard players have, that when maybe the pastor breaks into song in any key he happens to feel like, that those keyboard players are able to pick up the tune in that key, like it's the key they've always played it. Are you one of those kind of keyboard players, Phil?
Definitely, Tony. You know, when I was doing my first year in college, in the Polytechnic, one of the first things that were taught is ear training and keyboard. So, I mean, you have to be able to have good, you know, ears. You have to be able to listen to the sound and be able to figure out what key, you know, if somebody is singing. So it's something you're trained to do. And it's when you look at people that learn to play keyboard or piano by sight, it's difficult for them to be able to figure out what key a particular person is singing, because they're not trained to do that. So, but people who learn to play by ears, you know, are able to just, yeah, pick it up just by, I would say, by intuition or by training. But me personally, when I hear somebody singing and I have to play the keyboard, I don't have any problem getting my way around the key that the individual is, you know, is singing on.
Now, I'd like to speak to our non-African listeners and tell you what you just heard is quite remarkable talent. I doubt there are many keyboard players in churches or anywhere else in Canada or the States that can do what Phil just said. And I've seen it done only in black churches. So it's something that I'm in awe of, because when I am playing the music for a church service, I'm the one who has to tell them which key to play it in, because I only know one key. And if they start singing and I join in, it's a pure luck if I happen to be able to play in that key. So his knowledge of music theory is outstanding. Now, he is a keyboardist. Tell me about some other instruments that you like to work with, or you use in the groups that you play with, and anything else about the kind of music that you're producing.
Yeah, thanks, Tony. Personally, my journey, like I said, my journey in music began many, many years ago. And in 1999, I was asked by my church to lead a choir. And as a choir director, you need some basic knowledge of music. And I personally believe it's important for any music director to be able to play more than one musical instrument. So if you want to be an effective choir director, you should be able to play the piano, and you should be able to play acoustic guitar or bass guitar or drums. So that's what you expect from any competent, you know, choir director. So over the years, I've been able to train myself not only to play the piano, but also to play drums and to play a little bit of bass guitar and acoustic guitar. So if I find myself in a situation where my keyboard is disappointed, the service will not stop for that day. We still have to have a worship. So I'll go there and play my keyboard. If my bass guitar is disappointed, I won't feel so bad because I can, find my way around, Yeah. So I think it's a skill that every choir director has to be able to acquire, because it will go a long way.
Let's fast forward to the present time, and you're producing music, you're making music with some other musicians here in Worcester. Tell us a little bit about what you've done, anything that you've released on CD. And by the way, I'm going to play some of your music at the end of the interview, so people will be able to hear what Phil sounds like. But just go into as much detail as you feel like to do with just actually producing the finished product here in Worcester.
Yes, I've done produced two CDs over the years, and the third one that I'm working on, I'm working with a guy called Francois. Francois Africa happens to be one of the best keyboardists here in Worcester, and he's working with me to produce my new album, which is due to be released later this year. I'm trusting the Lord and praying very hard to make it a great song that everybody anywhere in the world can enjoy. And yes, we're working on that, and I believe it's going to go a long way to bless the body of Christ.
How do you publicize your music? How do you get it to the ears of potential buying listeners?
Yeah, thank God. I mean, meeting you, Tony, has been a tremendous blessing, because this will be my first radio interview. And I believe that many more interviews will follow. So what I'm planning on doing when my CD is out is to be able to approach radio stations or TV stations and promotion companies to see how I can get my songs out there to people anywhere they may be in the world. So it's been a blessing to meet somebody like Tony to help take my voice to the nations.
Well, I love talking to musicians like yourself. So this is just a bundle of fun for me, this interview. But you are not only a musician, you're also an author. And you feel the need to, when you have something to say, you want to say it and you want to get it out there. I think you've written a couple of books. Tell us about the first one now, and then afterwards we'll hear about the second one. Tell us what the purpose of the book is, the title, and how people can get hold of it.
Thanks, Tony. The title of my first book is Break That Cycle. That message came when I was doing my outreach in a city called Monte Hill here in South Africa. I did my DTS with Youth with a Mission in 2012. And were sent on outreach. And when I got to that particular community, I discovered that majority of the young people in that community, are on drug. Majority of them were using drugs, and some of them, with teenage pregnancy and all kinds of crime being committed by most of these young people. And I began to pray, because my team, we have this kind of passion and a desire to help many of these young people. But we felt that the 2 weeks we have to spend in that community would be too little for us to be able to accomplish so much. And then while I was praying, I felt God said to me that the problem that we see in the community did not start in one generation, that it's a result of years of generational curse that is being passed down from one parent to the other, and to what we saw in that community. And it kind of broke my heart. And I felt like God really wants to break this curse on the young people. That's how the message came, break that cycle. And when I look into my own life, also look into my own family, I realized that there are a lot of things that needs to be broken in my own family. And so I began to pray. So that's how the message came, break that cycle.
Has the book been well received? Do you have you any idea how many people out there have been able to read it?
Yes, when the book was published, we printed about 100 copies of the book, which was sold out. And then I realized that I need to add more. You know, God also was giving me more ideas about the book, so we had to write the second edition, which is being edited right now by a lady, one precious lady in America called Sue. So Sue is helping me in the States to work more on the book, and so we're working on designing a website which will help us to be able to to sell the book, you know, around the world. So I'm excited about that.
I believe that your second book is called The Power of Hope. Well, that's a powerful statement. Tell us about the second book.
The Power of Hope came out of my experience. 2 years ago, I went through a state of depression because of the situation that I faced in my church. And I came out of the church and I was really so broken with my family, and it felt like I was going to lose my faith, that I was going to lose the trust that I have in God. And it was the darkest period in my life. And while I was going through that situation, God began to minister to me about hope, because I felt the enemy wanted me to turn my back against God, because I was disappointed by the way I was treated by my leaders, and I was discouraged about serving God. And yes, that was how the message came, that God began to speak to me that troubled time will never last, that there is power in hope, because hope is like a little light that shines at the ends of the dark tunnel. And many people cannot see that light. That's why most end up committing suicide, because they can't see that light. And when that light is taken away, people can see that God is able to bring life out of dead situations. And one of the powerful scriptures that God gave me when I was writing that book is in Ezekiel chapter 37, where God asked the prophet Ezekiel, if the dry bone is able to live again. You know, Tony, sometimes we face situations in our lives where we felt like we're facing giants, or we are faced with very, very dry situations. And God called the attention of Ezekiel and he asked him, can this dry bone live? And Ezekiel asked the Lord God, I don't know, only you know. And God said, prophesy. And for me, the power of hope represents the ability for me to prophesy, to speak life, even in the midst of my difficult situations. And that's the power that actually brought me out of my depression. Because at that moment, I couldn't even afford money to, you know, to visit a therapist or to do, you know, to see people that could really help me process what I was going through. But through the word that God gave about the power of hope, I was able to overcome that difficult situation. And that's how the message of the book came.
I'm talking to Pastor Phil Adewumi here on the Worcester Report on CWCP Radio. And one thing that we don't yet know about him is his family. He mentioned his wife. So now is the chance to name drop on your wife and your children.
Yes, I'm married to the most beautiful woman in the world. Her name is Shireen Adewumi, and my son is Joshua. My daughter is Jada. So we are four in our family.
Another ministry that you mentioned to me before we got on air here is in Avian Park, where you are teaching children to play keyboard and possibly other things. Tell us about that.
Yes, in November of 2017, I got a call from one of our leaders in the church who asked if I'd be interested in teaching music to an outreach center in Evening Park, and I saw it as an opportunity to be able to give back to the community. And I've been very committed in the last, I would say, almost a year, going to Evening Park to teach children how to sing and to teach them how to play piano. And yesterday, Tony, we had an amazing time at Wawam Worcester. I was leading worship, and the kids actually came and joined me on stage to lead worship. It's really amazing. People were blessed, and we thank God for that.
Yes, Wawam Worcester has two very special praise sessions on Mondays and Thursdays. And I didn't know, actually, that you were one of the leaders there, but it doesn't surprise me to hear that. But isn't it a joy to introduce music to young people? I also discovered today, when I Googled you, that you were teaching music in Teachers of the Nations in 2013. In other words, you were doing then what I am doing now in Masterpiece Academy. How did that come about? And tell me some of the joy you got from, I don't know how long you taught it for, but I want to just hear your joy, because I thoroughly enjoy doing that.
It's really a challenge and at the same time a blessing for me to be able to teach. I didn't teach there for quite too long. I approached Mela, who happened to be the visionary behind the Teacher of the Nation. And we worked together for, I think, about 3 or 4 months teaching music at Chipross. And it was really fun, just like you mentioned. It was a blessing for me to be able to join them. But the time that I had, you know, I was teaching in Chipross, also teaching in Evening Park, and it became too much for me to be able to cope. So I had to give one for the other. So, yeah, but I really enjoyed it.
I'd like to thank Pastor Phil for his time with us here. As you possibly guess, I love talking music to anybody, and certainly chatting with musicians has always been something I've loved doing. I think you'll have also gathered some of the different facets of his life and the ways in which he praises the Lord through his talents, and thank God for him. So it's been my pleasure. Is there anything you just want to say to the listeners before we play some of your music, Phil?
Yeah, I think the only thing I would love to say to our listeners is just to encourage somebody out there, you know, who might be going through something that you can't even tell anybody. You know, God knows, and God sees your heart. And I felt God saying that just hold on, because it won't be long. You know, weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. I pray that as you persevere, as you wait upon the Lord, that your strength will be renewed and you can do great and amazing things in the name of the Lord. Thank you all. God bless you all.
All right. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of Jesus we lift up high. Hosanna, 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 sing Hosanna to the King of glory, and Lord of glory is worthy of praise. Hosanna, hallelujah, Hosanna, hallelujah, Hosanna to the Lord of glory, the King of the universe. Hosanna, has the yada say, has the yada say, has the yada say, has the yada say, me na ginu Jesu wa. Jesus, why? Oh, the Olai. song of praise to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is worthy. Hallelujah, Hosanna. Holy, 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 holy. Yeah, mighty, oh my King. Yeah, lift up your name on high, I praise you. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Wakanaka, yes, Wakanaka, yes, Wakanaka, yes, Wakanaka, yes, Wakanaka.
Phil Aduemi, or to give him his full title, Pastor Phil Aduemi. And he's working on his new CD at the moment, and he told me that it'll be ready in not too long in the future. But to get it mastered is going to take some money that he doesn't have at the moment. So I suggested that we did a little crowdfunding, even just on this show. So if you would like to help Phil Aduemi get his new CD out there in its full mastered pristine condition, get in touch with us in the first instance, and I'll pass anything on to him on CWCP Radio website. You'll find a place where you can leave comments, and I wish you would. We used to have quite a lot of comments. I haven't had any for a few weeks, so that's a place perhaps to leave a message and tell us how to get in touch with you if you would like to help with this worthy cause. And now, Lorianne with Another Way to Grow in God.
Tony and I are Canadian missionaries in South Africa. We have learned through our African friends in different countries how to slow down and be relational. This is something all of us in fast-paced countries need to learn. So come along with me and we'll learn together on the adventures of growing in God. Growing in God through time with God. My name is Lorianne and I'm a missionary. During my mission travels, I've ministered with people in Northern Ireland, Pakistan, Canada, and the USA. I've also ministered in African countries like Kenya, Ghana, Sierra Leone, Mozambique, South Africa, and Botswana. But at this time, we live in the beautiful Western Cape of South Africa. During my last broadcast, we discovered the power of blessing others. We bless others intentionally when we smile, hug, are kind, give prophetic words, and sow blessings into them. This is an intentional act that you can cultivate as a lifestyle. Just as Tony and I choose to stop for the divine opportunities that God brings our way, we also choose to bless. Sometimes this is done in practical ways, since love looks like something. However, other times it's simpler in the forms of touching, hugging, listening, as well as speaking hope and positive encouragement for their future. All these ways to bless and to validate others takes time. It's important to spend good relational time with people. It's a two-way blessing where you both receive. Before we spend this valuable time with other people, we need to spend time with God. When Tony and I attended the Iris Global Harvest School, we learned from many local and international speakers. Roland Baker was among my favorites. He amazed us with incredible wisdom, and yet sometimes he simply wanted to touch downcast hearts with deep joy. I came to love Roland when I first saw him at a September 2014 conference in Richmond, Virginia. God has gifted him with a sense of knowing when someone is secretly depressed. During the conference ministry times, he followed me around and he did not let up. I was secretly sad and grieving because no job was open to me at the time. I still didn't have a paying job until 2 years after that conference. I got the job shortly after Tony and I returned from our ministry in Mozambique, South Africa, and Botswana. Roland imparted to me through the Holy Spirit a deep trust joy into my heart. Yes, that's right, trust and joy. This deep trust laid a foundation so I could spend more time waiting before God. When I spent time with God, I wasn't as restless before Him as I had been. I had already practiced soaking prayer, which is the devotional time of silently listening to God through your spiritual ears while also listening to soft worship music with your physical ears. This is a form of contemplation. But now was a time to go even deeper. Heidi Baker says there is always more, and it's true. She always cries out for more, and God responds. Do we cry out for more time with God? I believe that God wants to spend more time with us. He's very patient for us to invite him. The artist Holman Hunt created a series of paintings of Jesus standing and knocking at a door. There were a lot of overgrown weeds around the door, but there was no handle on the door. The door could only be opened from the inside by the person who owns the house. But think, we are that house. The house represents our lives, and Jesus won't come in unless we open the door. It's amazing how patient Jesus is. This surely shows his mercy and kindness. Heidi also shared with the All Nations Church in Arizona after a conference. I attended a similar conference in an earlier year. At that time, I had the pleasure of Heidi ministering to me in a special way. Heidi was led to walk towards me with a bouquet of roses. Yes, that's right. She approached me with the flowers, a hug, and a kiss before she continued on her way to her assigned seat at the front of the church. Basically, she was stopping for the one, and I was the one she stopped for. It was an incredibly humbling experience where I felt I was being loved on by Jesus himself. I was. She spends so much time daily with the Lord despite being incredibly busy. But this is her secret. She is so filled with the love of Jesus that she really does pour out his love. Before she approached me, I stood worshiping in the back row of the church. The only thing that caused me to open my eyes was that I sensed a strong presence of Jesus beside me. It was like Jesus himself was standing right beside me. So I opened my eyes, and there was Heidi. There were also other times that I could clearly and powerfully see Jesus in another person. It happened before with Dennis Bennett, the man who led me to Jesus in 1988. Then it happened again through two of my professors in Tyndale Seminary. Every so often, I get a similar experience. Could we be filled with Jesus' love like that? Could we touch others with the love of God? Perhaps we could touch them so deeply that you could see the difference that it makes. The answer is simple. We can. Spend time with God. We desperately need him, not just for ministry, but for our own needs too. Both Heidi and Roland speak at length about this essential need. We need God. We really do. Jesus was asked by a religious law expert on what was the most important commandment in the Torah. His reply cut to the heart of the matter. Jesus said, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. The first commandment is absolutely crucial. You need to spend time loving him and letting him love you. Loving God with all your heart could involve worship and realizing that God is our treasure. He is the pearl of great price. Loving God with your soul would be acts of service just for him, in obedience, humility, and integrity. Loving God with your mind could involve reading scripture while praying and actively meditating on him. My Afrikaner pastor Peter Lewis says to love God in this way is to actively cultivate your dianoia. That is, your active imagination. It is part of how you think. When you give this to God, you allow Holy Spirit to speak to you through pictures, impressions, and words. You can also imagine him right with you, which of course, he actually is. Through this practice, your eyes can actually open to see him more and more. The version of the story that I shared is in Matthew chapter 22, but in the Gospels of Mark and Luke, Jesus is also quoted as including loving God with all your strength. Jesus was actually quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. What does it look like to love God with all your strength? To love the Lord with all our strength is to love him with reckless abandon out of simple devotion. Heidi and Roland wrote a daily devotional book called Reckless Devotion. It captures a taste of being completely wrecked by the love of God, in a way that you become lovesick for him. Here's another example from the Bible. The woman who broke open an alabaster jar of expensive perfume over Jesus' feet. It's likely she had this jar as a treasure for her wedding night, but instead, she recklessly shared it with Jesus, her spiritual bridegroom. So the greatest commandment is definitely not one that we should skip. However, too often, that is exactly what happens. Some of this destruction is by little things that come up in our day. These rob us from our time with God. The most sad destruction is one that has the best of intentions. Roman Baker shared with us at Harvest School that even many missionaries skip the first commandment to get to the second commandment. They move too quickly through their devotions because they see the great need of those around them. Yes, we need to reach out. But if you reach out without the love, power, and leading of God, you have nothing to give them but human sympathy. Human love runs out quickly and you get exhausted. It's far better to take the time before you go out to the people. While I'm not a morning person, morning is probably the best time unless you're working and ministering at night. Without loving God with all of you, you will have no energy to do the commandment of loving your neighbor. So we need to pursue God with reckless pursuit, and he will fill us with all we need to do life. This is life in ministry, the workplace, family, studies, and everything else you can think of. I can honestly say that I was helped by God to excel in university, seminary, and radio school. I didn't do as well in art school before I knew Jesus. Imagine if I went now. So we need to give God our time, our calendar, and all that is in it. We need to schedule dates with God that can't easily be moved. One of my Afrikaner pastors and his wife enjoy a date with God every night at 9. You can see the life and love of God in their lives. They shine for Jesus like bright lamps in the darkness. So let's think back of Heidi speaking in that Arizona church. I watched on a webcast and I could not tear my eyes away. She spoke on the parable of the 10 virgins from Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 13, and she sang her prophetic wisdom from Holy Spirit. I've done some searching on the story. 5 of the virgins were prepared and had enough oil while they waited for the bridegroom overnight. 5 weren't prepared and didn't have enough oil. They couldn't borrow the oil from the others and so had to go buy some. The 5 wise virgins couldn't even transfer some of their own oil. The others had to go get their own. There is a deeper meaning of this story other than the suddenness of the bridegroom's arrival. What is the oil? The Holy Spirit? Yes. But wait, there's more. Yes, the Holy Spirit is often symbolized by oil, fire, water, and wind. But there's more. Perhaps grace? Yes, grace is a gift of God, but there's still more. Perhaps the oil is gained through obedient Christian living? Yes, but then there's even still more. So what's the more? The very thing that God sees as our precious gift we give to him. It's time. How do you get the oil? By your time spent with God. God takes the gift that we've given by our lived out space in our calendars to become the very oil that we need. Not just the anointing oil of the Holy Spirit, but something deep within so that we shine from the inside. We become like a lamp. I think I'd like to stay and think on this revelation. I'm thankful that Heidi obeyed Holy Spirit when she shared it. So please, do not hesitate to give God your time. It may not be the hours that Heidi spends, but schedule your own date with God. You can worship, ask questions, read the Bible, do soaking prayer, and so much more. This is a date journey with God, and he's inviting you right now. Sorry, Lord, that we've been neglecting you, Christians and non-Christians alike. Thank you for dying for us. We give you our calendars and our lives. Cleanse us from all we have done wrong and the tendency to go our own way. Please fill us with your Holy Spirit. Help us to respond to your invitation to spend time with us. Bless my friends who are listening and touch their lives as they take time for you. In Jesus' name. Be blessed, my friends, and tune in again for Ways to Grow in God on Koppel's Western Cape Radio.
Substitute for your desire. Someone like you, unbounded love in all you do. So I'll seek to know you more. I'll press into your word again, drawing on your spirit's power and drinking from that well again. For heaven and earth are in your hands. This universe within your of life, no, I can see. They only stir when you command. Some divine permission give, empowered by your mighty hand. And you knew me In the secret place is my being formed. You beheld my days, and you know me now. You know all my ways. Nothing's hid from you. I'm with you always. My weakest means, oh, my poorest words, to tell this world of your redeeming love. By your Holy Spirit's power is articulation give a message to the poor in heart that Jesus Christ is risen again. And you knew me in the secret place as my being formed. You decreed my day. And you know me now, you know all my ways. Nothing's hid from you, I'm with you always. I'm with you always. I'm with you always. Shall I go from your presence, O God? Where shall I go from your presence, O God? Oh, I know I'm with you. I know I'm with you.
Koppel's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
Robin Mark's Secret Place, and before that, Iona, with Divine Presence. On the 19th of May, which was a gorgeous Saturday, and if you remember, a certain wedding of two very important people in England, we went to the Nye Festival. Nye on the Hill is one of our favourite restaurants, and as we sat down for lunch with our friend Tanya, right beside us was a large TV screen playing the royal wedding live. We could hardly keep our eyes off the screen, but by about 1 o'clock we had to go because we wanted to see the rest of the Nye Festival, and particularly Kaleidoscope. They were the musicians, the folk duo that had attracted us to the Nye Festival in the first place. And we were not disappointed. At the Leipzig winery, we sat sipping wine, of course, and thoroughly enjoying the music from Juba Jordan and Anique Jordan, unrelated, other than through the bonds of music. And I'm going to play several of the tunes off their most recent disc, Hunstelling Saison. We're going to start with Je Langs Mij. Then we'll go to The Call, and we'll end with Gabriel. I think these songs are exquisite, and we didn't expect to hear such beautiful music just up the road from where we are, and I'm very happy that we bought the disc.
Vrede, want jy maak my hart gesond. Then grew into a hope, which then turned into a quiet thought, which then turned into a quiet word, and then that word grew louder and louder till it was a battle cry. I'll come back when they call me. No need say goodbye. Just because everything's changing doesn't mean it's never been this way before. All you can do is try to know who your friends are when you head off to the war. Pick a star on the dark horizon and follow the light. You'll come back when it's over. No need to say goodbye. You'll come back when it's over. No need to say goodbye. The beginning is just a feeling, and no one knows yet. Just because they can't feel it too doesn't mean you have to forget. Let your memories grow stronger and stronger till they're before your eyes. You'll come back when they call. No need to say goodbye. You'll come back when they call you. No need to say goodbye. Gabriel, this is the last. chapter of our correspondence. I hope that after time has passed, you can remember me with fondness. I think as I am thinking now of all the pages that have seen us, laid out unending in between us, how we can walk them like ground. I know my fate, I do not need to fight, but you tread softly on the ground tonight. Tread softly on the words you used to write. And Gabriel, I see you there, the day I met you in the orchard. You up and fold you like a ribbon. I'll keep you always and in secret in the pockets of my clothes. But this is how I live my life, with all the parts that I've been given. This is the heart that I've been given, and what you future in an evening dress, or wrapped in tapestry and fur, I guess. Remember me the way you knew me best. Oh, Gabriel, I've kept everything you sent me, everything you put to paper, but it's better to forget.
Kaleidoscoop, delicious. And if you liked what you heard, you can catch them live this Saturday, May 26th, in Pal, starting 7:30 in the Oumuel Theatre. And now it's time for us to sign off from this week's edition of the Worcester Reports. We hope that you'll join us again in a week's time. So on behalf of my wife, Lorianne, and myself, God bless you all. And continue listening for some soaking music from Bethel Without Words.